This is FUV Live Sessions, a podcast brought to you by WFUV in New York City. Each week, we talk to artists in our Bronx studio, and we listen to them play a live set. You'll get to hear the songs and learn about the artists. Episodes drop every Monday wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to follow the show to stay up to date on all the new episodes, and of course, so you can maybe find your next favorite artist or band. This is FUV Live Sessions with Middle Kids. I'm Megan Aftermath, and I'm here with host Kara Manning at WFUV. Kara, we just wrapped up this session with Middle Kids. I was super excited for them to come in because I'm pretty obsessed with this new album that just came out.
It really is a remarkable album, and it just really focuses on what a good lyricist Hannah Joy is. And I was really struck by the candor and the rawness of what she achieves with this album, these songs. I was also struck by, and it's amazing thinking back on 2021 when we last had a marquee live at home session with them, how the pandemic really isn't that long ago. And there was a time when we did that last session with Middle Kids that most bands did not know when they would be able to go out and tour again. And Middle Kids were in that predicament. It was especially gratifying to have the three of them here today in person, in the flesh. They have a long, long history with WFUV, and they're grateful for that. And that always feels good.
Yeah, it does. So what are we going to start today's session with?
I went back and forth because all three songs that they decided to do with us are very different in sort of texture and temperament. And let's start with what could be the sort of sing-along of the summer kind of song, which is Dramamine. This is Middle Kids on FUV Live Sessions.
Sometimes I wanna say
don't.
I'm Cara Manning with FUV Live Sessions, and that is Middle Kids with Dramamine, which you'll find on their third album, Faith Crisis Part 1, a title that sounds like a reckoning, but is actually a renewal for this band made up of singer and guitarist Hannah Joy, bassist Tim Fitz, and drummer Harry Day. Hannah and Tim are a couple, and the exhausted and ecstatic parents of a toddler and a brand new baby. Since 2016, Middle Kids has released many singles, two EPs, and three albums, all chiming with cathartic melodies and lyrical heft and depth. And how lovely it is to see Hannah, Tim, Harry, and their touring guitarist Miles Elkington in Studio A today. And as Tim told me earlier, Tim, that apparently FUV plays a really big role in the origin story of Middle Kids.
That's right. I think we played our first ever radio session in the US over here.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's very important to us. Mm. Dear to our hearts.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, you have been here twice before in Studio A, and the last time I had the opportunity to talk to you was in 2021 over Zoom in the thick of the pandemic. You were in Sydney. It was about like 10 in the morning, and you were doing a marquee at-home concert for us. Just actually seeing you in person kind of gives me hope, and it seems absolutely bizarre that was only 3 years ago.
I know, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
this is much better. Good to be in the room.
It is much better. I have to ask that Faith Crisis Part 1 is not necessarily a COVID record, per se. It's not a pandemic record, but there are definitely elements of sort of coming to a new place for all of you as a band, for Hannah, you as a lyricist. You were pregnant through a lot of the recording, or had you finished or completed the recording before you were?
No, yeah, I think I was writing it after my first kid, so I wasn't pregnant. And then we recorded it, and I wasn't pregnant either. It's hard to remember.
Yeah, it's hard to remember because you gave birth in January, and we're speaking now at the very end of June. So you have a five-month-old, basically.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Hannah, you have actually described the making of this album as something that almost killed you. And the title gives thought to the fact that this wasn't an easy process, but I think a lot of that had more to do with writer's block.
I mean, there were probably different reasons as to why it was quite an intense experience. I think, I experienced writer's block probably for the first time ever. I was struggling to kind of, I think COVID was not a very fruitful time for me creatively. So I had to really kind of find my way through that for a while. So there was that. And then I think even the way we recorded it, I would say for all of us, we felt at the end of it, we were like shells of humans. But we made this very differently to our last two records because we went into the studio and we were there for 5 weeks and every day just kind of, you know, going in, making it. Whereas historically, we've done it more in kind of a patchwork quilt way, you know, just songs around the house and then kind of, you know, sewing it all together. So I think that experience of really going deep together for a long time was a huge, you know, pouring out. But, you know, I feel grateful. I feel like it's a good feeling in some ways to feel like you've left nothing, you know, you've put it all out there. So, yeah, it did almost kill me, but whatever.
But you survived. And you worked with Jonathan Gilmore, who is known for his work with the 1975, with Rina Sawayama, with Biba Doobie, Coach Party. What was it about, you had been thinking about working with Jonathan for a while, but why did you want to take that risk, work with him and go to the UK to do so, rather than recording back in Australia?
We had a mutual friend who'd worked with Jonathan, and we also just loved so much of what he'd worked on. And on a call, we were talking about the idea of recording sort of real instruments, quote unquote, but making them sound as, I guess, sonically arresting and interesting as electronic instruments. That's something that I think he's had a lot of experience with in the music that he's recorded, which is kind of like indie, but has this sort of crossover with electronic and pop music. So we were very excited about that idea. And he's just an incredible engineer. And and then he just found a studio in the UK. It was in this sleepy town on the coast. And so
which coast?
It's near Brighton.
So you were not that far from London.
No, not that far. Yeah. Yeah. It was just had all this old gear from the 70s and, you know, half of it worked. And, we just went in there all day, every day for 5 weeks, and it was big.
You know, it's interesting. We started this session with Dramamine, which has this really lovely lyric that you are the only reason I believe. This album has really candid, raw lyrics throughout. And a lot of times, Hannah, it seems as if you're in a wrestling match with your own subconscious throughout this entire record. Dramamine, though, comes... There's dire lyrics lurking throughout Dramamine, yet there is a hopeful, propulsive push to this song. And I'm wondering where it came in the process of you writing and coming out of that.
Yeah, I love the buoyancy in that song.
Yeah.
Because I think that there is a lot of wrestling. What's really special about that song is we wrote that one together. And I think that
you
maybe,
and Tim.
Yeah, and maybe that's where some of the hope comes from, getting Tim in there or something. But yeah, I think we wrote that. That song actually took a long time to find its spot on the record. We reworked that a lot of different ways in the studio. So we're really glad it got to where it did. But I think that that was probably in the middle, I reckon, of making that record. But I think it just, it brings, a hope into the... And there's definitely moments of this in other tracks, but I think that was something that was really important in the wrestle, but to still have the kind of hope, because it's not the kind of faith crisis where it's like there is no faith anymore. There is, but it's just kind of the forming and the reforming and the questioning of it, which feels really important, you know?
Right. There's a, and now this is titled part one. Do you think that there is going to be a part two, three, and eventually part 30?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I think that was part is almost in jest.
Yeah.
Of, or bringing a lightness of, you kind of start realizing more and more that just part of life is just like a constant cyclical thing of wrestling with what you believe to be true. And so I think, yeah, there probably isn't going to be another part two in terms of a record, but it's more just saying that, like, you know, we're just beginning in terms of, you know, this will be an ever evolving thing.
You know, in terms of what you were going through, Hannah, because it seems like you put a lot of the burden to sort of get the engine started in terms of a Middle Kids album or in terms of what you're doing, even though you all work so closely together. And I'm going to look at Harry because you've been quiet. When Hannah is going through that and escaping to like Bondi Beach to try to write, where are you and Tim in terms of what you're figuring out and how you sort of support her in that?
At that point, usually I'm just at the beach separately, just just body surfing. But yeah, I guess the process up to that point is somewhat linear. Like Hannah is the sort of genesis of a lot of the songs, and then often Tim comes in as the next piece and offers additional songwriting and production, and often fleshes out those songs into things that we can take then. And I guess it gets more collaborative when I enter the picture finally. And but I guess, you know, when we get to the studio, it starts to, we have the raw material, and then some things end up being more like the demos, or, you know, almost very stripped back, and then other things go on a bit of a journey. And
are you perfectionist? Or do you sort of open your hearts to the errors that can happen and what you find in sort of experimenting and playing with things?
I think over the course of being a band for some 8 years now, we've gotten a lot better at being open to each other and relinquishing control of certain elements that you might feel more attached to, and just generally believing that, you know, we're part of something bigger than each individual part. And yeah, I do feel like even recording this album felt like we were able to explore, and it was quite an open environment creatively.
Kara Manning with Middle Kids on FUV Live Sessions. And speaking of Bondi Beach, apparently Bootleg Firecracker was a song that came to life on, while you escape usually from your children and you go off. What do you bring when you escape on these sort of these sojourns of creativity that you need on your own?
I actually have a pretty good template. I always take my keyboard, guitar, a little interface, computer, and then I used to take a lot of wine. I don't take any wine with me anymore, but that was a big proponent of what I would take. And mangoes, and just, and then I would need to be inside of like quite close proximity to the ocean. So most of these songs I can kind of look through and see like what body of water I was near. And it's cool because I feel like every time I have a song that makes it onto an album, I'm like, okay, that trip felt worthwhile, you know, like at least if I can attach some to that. And but most of them are very fruitful, so it's been a good thing for me to find.
Well, Bootleg Firecracker is a gorgeous song on this, very much about intimacy. Is it a lot about Tim and the kids, Or actually, the one child, your first child, because the second one hadn't been born yet.
You know, so. I feel like it's less about the kid. I think it's definitely a lot about Tim. I think for me, I have a great fear of intimacy. And so I think that, like, I feel like I had to take a real risk in order to find it when I'm quite a guarded person in a lot of ways. And so I think so much of Bootleg is about taking that risk, I would say, with Tim. And then even in friendships and relationships and like that risk of revealing yourself to people, I think that is like can be difficult, more difficult for some than others. And I think that I have been seeing over time that the moments that I can do that, even if there's pain or rejection, that it's so worth it, because that's where a lot of the heat and the color and the beauty of connection comes. So yeah, I feel like that's been a very special song.
Well, I could imagine you standing on the beach thinking this song through lyrically as you played it today. And I'm nice. So happy that you're doing it today. It's an absolutely gorgeous song. This is Middle Kids with Bootleg Firecracker on FEV Live Sessions. That is Middle Kids with Bootleg Firecracker on FUV Live Sessions. You will find that gorgeous song on their new album, Faith Crisis Part 1. And, there's another song on this album that I loved as well called Highlands, which has a Scottish connection in some way. Who has the Scottish background?
I mean, do we all?
I think we all
actually do.
You all do.
A lot of Australians do.
Yeah.
My middle name is Angus.
Angus, that's it. My maiden name's Cameron.
There you go.
From the Cameron clan in the Highlands. But yeah, that was kind of where I wrote it from. The Cameron heritage is kind of a big story in my family.
Right.
It's been like, you know, my brothers all have the kilts and we went to where the Camerons are from in the Highlands. And so it's kind of always been this image of being wild and free
Was that a song that happened before you were in the UK?
Yeah, it was before.
It was before?
Yeah. It's all, wow. Yeah.
When we were recording it, we kept trying to work out if we could go up to Scotland and record the video clip up there, but there wasn't enough time.
That would have been awesome.
Well, I love that song as well. I mean, in terms of what you were going through at the time of bringing this album to life, where you are on the other side of it, finally being able to get out and tour behind it, finally being able to do, you know, just be in front of an audience again after a very long time. How have you enjoyed doing this sort of new direction of Middle Kids in front of your longtime fans?
Mm.
Yeah, I think it's like you learn something really important every album you put out, and I feel like you take it into the next phase. I think we're playing together, we're still learning about how we respond to each other on stage, and we're still responding to these songs, sort of learning how they're supposed to be played live, and I think we're really enjoying it. But it was cool, we came over just when Highlands was released last year and we were supporting Manchester Orchestra. Mm. And it felt like that song was really connecting. It was cool to like play a song that no one had ever heard because we were playing to, you know, like crowds that were for another band, you know, we were supporting. And it felt like it's cool to see songs connecting on their own merit, you know, to new fans.
You know, it's shocking to me to think that we're coming up to a decade from when you first released Edge of Town in 2016. And when you look back at that song, which feels like a really, really old friend and the start of everything, I'm wondering if that, like, what that song sort of, how that resonates with you. Do you still perform it in the sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What does it feel like now looking back?
Honestly, it feels awesome to play. Like, I've never really had that feeling of, oh, this song is so old.
Yeah.
Because the crowd just, it's always such a beautiful moment in the set. It kind of feels like a song that everyone is very familiar with and has a lot of love for. And for us, it was totally the, you know, the first thing for us, the first song we ever did. And it did so much for us. It opened so many doors. So I love playing it. We all love playing it. It's a real high point.
It's a bit like a time machine. I feel like every time we play it, there's just like layers and layers and layers of meaning over the years. And that song particularly has really like taken us to so many places, I mean, including here to, you know, to play music and to meet really interesting people. And we see lots of beautiful things, and so much of it is because of that song. So I think we're always so grateful.
Right.
Mm. We actually recorded that song before we even kind of formally started the band. Mm. Like you guys had worked on, written it,
Hannah wrote it.
Tim helped to kind of rework it, and then I came in and played drums on it. And even for me, I remember that session so vividly. I was really young and I hadn't played, like recorded for a lot of singer-songwriters, and I felt like this song was really good. And so there is a lot in that song, a lot of history and memory.
Tim and Hannah, you have now a four-year-old and a newborn.
Yeah.
How, like, in terms of, there's a song on this album called Terrible News, which kind of encapsulates everything right now. But in terms of remaining hopeful and positive, especially when you look at your two kids, how do you both do that? How can you sort of address tough things in your music and in how you're sort of looking at the world, and then at the same time being positive and hopeful for your children?
It's a good question. I mean, I think even the biggest antidote, you know, for me to cynicism and losing hope is connection with people. And I feel like even touring is such a great reminder of that, because like once you get into the room with people, pretty much our experience all across the world is like you can always find something to connect over if you're wanting to. And there's so much like beauty and love in everybody's story that even through the hard things and the uncertainty and the tension, like if we can just keep finding ways to find each other, the goodness in humanity, which is just in everyone. I just feel like that to me has been the biggest antidote, and which is why I love touring so much, because when I see every room we go into, I'm reminded of that beautiful truth. And I believe it so strongly. And I always feel so sad when people often say these offhanded things like, oh, I hate humans, I hate people, you know, that kind of thing. It's like, it's a sad kind of giving up on each other, where I feel like even though we are so deeply flawed and we, you know, can cause a lot of chaos and pain, but I think that like there's something to find in everyone. And I feel that's definitely explored on the record too. And, you know, yeah, for our kids and just for ourselves, that I feel like that is a really helpful thing in pushing out and not giving up, because it can really shape the lens and how you want to then participate in the world, you know?
If you feel bad about humanity, I think the best thing to do is have a kid, because they're so beautiful and you see the life force and the innocence and the yearning for connection so strongly, and you are reminded of the best parts of all of us, I think. So I think that's been wonderful for us.
I hope it's okay to mention your children's names, because I love your children's names.
Sure.
Sunny and Banjo. I love that.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, they're sweet guys. I mean, they're crazy, but you know, love them.
Are they aware, like, well, Sonny's obviously, he's aware, does he like respond to music at this point?
Yeah, big time.
Big time.
He keeps saying that he's better at Harry than the drums.
Yeah, he was like sitting on my drum set the other day. We're like sound checking, standing up, and he's like playing the floor tom, and he goes, "You know, Harry, your drums actually sound pretty good."
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Yeah. You're official drum tech now. Yeah, exactly. There you go. Hannah, you acted recently in a Heath Davis movie called Christmas.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy being an actor? Was it a rejuvenating experience or a terrifying one?
I would say both, but I did love it. It was kind of one of those wild things where it kind of fell into my lap. Would have been the thing I couldn't have done if it wasn't COVID, because of our schedule with touring.
When was it filmed?
2022.
And you were writing for this concurrently,
yeah,
the album
exactly.
as well.
Yes. Yeah. I actually wrote Bend when I was on set. I just stayed in a hotel for a few weeks while we were filming. And I wrote Bend whilst making that movie, actually. So, I mean, I loved it. It's a very, very different creativity to making music, which was kind of cool. I felt like it was stretching and I loved it, yeah.
Any interest in doing it again?
I don't know, to be honest. Like, I'm still, I don't know. I don't think it was like a good learning experience. I never acted before, so I was learning on the job. I don't know, I feel...
What if Wes Anderson called?
There you go.
Well, yeah.
She'll only work with auteurs.
Wes Anderson, are you listening?
Yeah, that's exactly.
Right. Hannah Joy is here, would like to work with you.
That's right.
But Bend was written during that time. I will say that Bend was the first time I heard it, I was astonished by it. Where you went vocally, Hannah, when you, I'm going to look at Tim and Harry, when you first heard or got wind of what Hannah was doing with Bend, what was your reaction?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those ones I feel like I'll often think of myself as the first fan of a Middle Kids song, because Hannah will show me something and yeah, I'll be blown away by it. And that was, it was just before we left to the UK. So we were like, this is something special. There's something so raw. And this is where Hannah can go that I think a lot of people can't go, to what the things that she will say, that she can like confront in a song. It's very deep, I think. And then we also showed John like the day before we left, and he was like, oh, that's going to be on the album. You know, we had a bunch of songs.
But Hannah, it almost didn't make the album. You almost did not want it on the. Can I ask why?
Well, I mean,
scary.
We were all kind of freaked out by it in some ways, because it is very, I don't know. It just, I didn't know where its place was. It is very raw.
It also just kind of sits apart sonically on the album in its own little world, and in a place that we hadn't really, I don't know, got to in a recording and before. So lots of new scary things.
Well, I was absolutely over the moon when I heard you were going to do it today. And not only do it today, but you actually are doing it for the first time as a full band. Because when you were touring earlier, you were doing it just Hannah.
Yeah.
We actually nearly weren't going to do it today. We nearly got scared.
Why?
Nearly backed out. No, I'm kidding.
But it is true, because we played it the other night and Hannah lost her voice for 3 shows. So we're scared of that song as well, but we're bringing it back.
Really puts it all out there.
Yeah, that's right.
At what cost?
I'm so happy you're here. It's really good to see your sweet faces again.
Thank you.
Hannah, Tim, Harry, Middle Kids. The album is Faith Crisis Part 1. You're a spectacular band. I'm so happy for you. And I'm really glad you're doing this song. This is Bend on FUV Live Sessions. Thank you all.
Oh,
thank you.
The line's very firm between free and paralyzed, and I'm writing it all the time. My breath
That was Middle Kids performing and in conversation at WFUV in New York City. A big thank you to Hannah, Tim, Harry, and Miles for joining us in the studio, and to Domino. Thanks to our WFUV audio team, including Jim O'Hara and Aaron Merriman. Our FUV live studio sessions are engineered by Jim O'Hara. Our associate producers for this episode were Simone Yanez and Catherine Sherman. Megan Aftermath is our executive producer. Our theme music was composed by John Crick. Be sure to follow FUV Live Sessions wherever you get your podcasts so you can listen to new episodes and find your next favorite artist or band. New episodes drop every Monday. Rate and review the show so other music lovers can find it. You can also catch audio and video of FUV Live Sessions on WFUV.org. FUV Live Sessions is a production of WFUV in New York City. I'm Kara Manning, host and producer of this session featuring Middle Kids.